You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our mission at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. That's phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's featured guest, who is Ed Deese. Ed Deese spent nearly 30 years in the ministry in both associate pastor and senior pastor positions. Since 2005, he has been a sales specialist with Rochester Insurance, which specializes in property and casualty insurance for both churches and Christian ministries. Ed presently services a book of personal business with churches that exceeds $4 million. Ed, welcome to the Career Callings Radio program, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Robbie. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to this.
Yeah, me too, man. Well, let's get started. Ed, here's the first question I have for you right now. What do you do right now vocationally, and kind of how did you get to this point in your career?
Well, right now, Robbie, I am working with a local insurance agency here in Spartanburg. We specialize in insuring churches, and that's all we do, our churches, Christian schools, Christian ministries, denominational groups. So it's a niche kind of opportunity, but certainly the Lord has blessed, and over the last 12 years of being able to do this. How I got here is a little different. My previous church ministry, things changed there, and the man that I now work with was in my Sunday school class, and at that particular time, given the situation, he asked if I would be willing to pray about, consider coming to work with him. And so we did, and my wife and I talked about it. And after 28 years in ministry, this was going to be a significant life-changing event. Yet we felt like this is what the Lord led us in and what he wanted us to do at this particular time. And so that's how we ended up here at the moment, and how the Lord has blessed over these last 12 years. It's been exciting. It has been different. In many respects, but in some respects, I just see it as an extension of a different kind of ministry of dealing with churches all the time.
And say a little bit more to that statement. How do you see it as a different kind of ministry, but also kind of the same as what you were tied to in the past?
Well, obviously, I am not preaching every Sunday, doing those kinds of things, pastoring people, the same group of people, all of the time. I did that for 28 years, and it was a great blessing, and it was a wonderful ministry that God had given. Yet when this door opened and the opportunity of doing this, I have probably done as much counseling, but it has been in a different way, primarily with pastors, especially young pastors or pastors in small single church situations. When they hear of my background, they know at least I can identify with them. I understand where they're coming from, the kinds of things that they have to deal with on a daily basis. And so very often, as I learned in my own life, a pastor normally doesn't have a pastor. And a lot of people don't realize that. And sometimes, just as with a church member, they need to talk to somebody. Well, a pastor needs to talk to somebody. So I see this as an opportunity. I've had many, many opportunities just to sit down with the pastor and listen to them unload. Didn't have anything to do with insurance, but they just needed to talk to somebody that, one, I didn't have a vested interest. I didn't know their people. I wasn't going to say anything. And then, two, being able to talk to somebody that they felt like could understand where they're coming from without making any preconceived decisions about where they were, how they got there, and what they needed to do from there. Fortunately, the man that I'm working with at the very beginning understood my background, and he said, look, if God opens a door for you to be able to do that, then take advantage of it. Take all the time you need. You do what you feel is necessary. So I'm just doing an extension of ministry in a different way. I've got a lot of different people I deal with now at different times, and it's not the same group of people week in and week out. So it's been a great blessing, been a great opportunity.
You know, and your background just kind of goes to show that whenever we're in service to the Lord, there's no guarantee nor promise that we will be in just one type of career calling for our entire lives. He oftentimes will shift us or pivot us in one direction or another so we can use our talents and skills and passions that he has granted to us and point us in a different direction so we can serve a different group of people. So the lesson I'm getting from your experience is that, you know, your career calling won't necessarily be the same your entire life. It will probably change over time. We should be open to that change as God directs us in a different direction. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about that and how you reacted to it.
Honestly, of course, being in the position that I am now and having been a pastor, neither one of those, I would say, was necessarily a challenge to my faith. But I think early in my Christian life as a teenager, that's when I was confronted with some things. Of course, went to a public school, and this was back in mid to late 60s in high school and working my first public job. I made a choice and a decision after I got saved as a teenager that to the best of my ability, I was going to live for the Lord. And so from day one, when I was in high school, I carried my Bible with me. And all through high school, from the day I graduated, from the day I started to the day I graduated, I had my Bible with me. And during study hall, I would read, and I had it. And at first, you know, people looked at me a little strangely. There were a few people, not many, but there were a few people that made fun of it, made fun of me. You know, I was called Billy Bible and Preacher Boy and all those kinds of things. And I didn't see it as something necessarily enjoyable, but I wasn't looking for it either as a badge. It just happened. I didn't try to stand out, but I tried not to be afraid to stand out if necessary. But to be honest with you, it was a tremendous, opened up some tremendous opportunities and some doors that later that happened with some of those classmates that came around, if you will, or that came to me and said, look, I got a problem. I got a question. Tell me why you believe this, or tell me why you do this. And I had great opportunities to witness and open up a lot of doors and a lot of opportunities to invite those kids to our church, which was a very large church, big outreach for teenagers at that particular time. This was back in the late 60s. So God really opened some doors. So that was probably, to be real honest, when I was most challenged, and it was early in my Christian life. Since then, I've been involved either in the ministry or involved in our office here, where everybody, you know, either I know them or they're family members, or we all go to church. A lot of us go to the same church. And then dealing with churches, don't always agree with every church theologically that we endure, but it's still an easier group of people to work with than a lot of salespeople have to work with.
Well, I'm glad you shared that story from your youth, because that's so applicable to a lot of people today. I mean, So much of witnessing is just making sure that you are behaving and acting in a way where people can recognize that you are a Christian. And there will come a time when a lot of those folks will get to a crossroads in their life, and as much as they may even ridicule a Christian, when those times come, it's amazing how many of those people then come asking that Christian for advice. So the lesson is just don't be afraid to let people know, you know, that you're available, that you are who you are, and that you believe in Christ and the Savior. And when the right time comes, the opportunity for witnessing will present themselves. Have you ever had a time in your life when God was directing you down, looked like he was pointing you down a career path that you just did not want to go down, or maybe did not make sense to you? And tell us a little bit about that and what you learned from that.
Well, I think that there was a time after I was married where, again, I wondered what really did God want me to do? I was in insurance, life insurance, and while I enjoyed that to a degree, as far as dealing with people, I just didn't see that as being something that really God was directing in long term. I couldn't see myself making a career out of that, and I saw it more of a transitional time, but I just didn't know what the transition was coming to. And then that's how God began to lead and direct and moved us ultimately to Tennessee or Knoxville, and the church that we were involved in, and ultimately into the ministry. And as God began to open that door, I had a lot of questions. I don't know that God drugged me into it, because I don't think God drags any man into the ministry. I think you have to know this is where God is leading in order to be the most effective for the Lord, and to be joyful in that position that God directs you in, which I think it can be in any career path. But at the very beginning of that process, God had to be direct, I think, in my life that this is what he wanted me to do. He had to show me that it wasn't as much me as it was him. Because again, I tended to be pretty confident in myself and my abilities and those sorts of things. And God had to show me that it wasn't because of who I was or what I had, or what I had even learned, but that it was going to be dependence upon him that was going to make the difference. And that came early in that process, as I've already related. And I'm so grateful for that. So God did direct, and in that specifically, moving me in that direction to show me that's what he wanted to do. That at first, I mean, nobody in my family had ever been in the ministry. My family, we were believers, and my folks always took me to church as I was growing up. But there was really never any mention of ministry. Didn't have a family member or extended family member that had ever been in the ministry. So I was the first in that kind of situation. And I think to a certain degree took some people by surprise.
Took some people by surprise, huh?
unfortunately, or fortunately as the case may be, I've done a lot of extended family member funerals over the years, as well as my own, you know, mother and father. So there's, again, blessing in that, being able to be there, to be able to do those kinds of things. But it's different. I'll tell you that. It's different.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And that's a wrap on segment number one of Career Callings today. Come back in a few for segment number two.
Opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all of these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world. Not
a lot. Welcome back for segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Let's get back to our interview with Ed Deese. What would you say is the number one personal habit that you adhere to that drives your career success?
I try to make sure that on a regular basis, I keep up with and keep in contact with my clients. I think sometimes, regardless of what you do, but in this particular business, they need to know that you're there. So on a regular basis, I send out emails. I send out thank you cards. I did that even when I was a pastor. When somebody did something in church, sang a special, performed some particular service that was out of the ordinary, I had a pad and I personally hand wrote thank you notes and had my secretary mail them out. I think letting people know that you care about them even after the sale is made is important. I try to do that on a regular basis. We've got some good systems in place that make that easier now. Our company provides some things that make that easier to be able to do. I also keep a prayer list Of course, I've done that in my personal life for years, but I have clients that I deal with that, would you pray about, you know, this particular thing? My wife has, you know, cancer, or my parent just had a heart attack. And so I try to follow up with them and make a phone call. How is, you know, how did her cancer treatments go? Is your dad out of the hospital? Those sorts of things. So to me, doing that on a regular basis, I've made it a habit, because I think people can get lost pretty quickly once you've made the sale, if you're not careful. So I've had to make sure that that is a habit that I do, to stay in touch with people, clients that are now clients, and sometimes even people that I didn't make the sale. They said, you know, would you pray with me about such and such? I try to keep that door open, because you never know. It may be 2 years down the road, but they could become a client. And part of it may be because you stayed in touch with them.
That's right. That's right. Share a productivity tool. It can be internet-based or non-internet-based, but something that you use that enables you to achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace.
One thing that, that our company that we represent uses has become a great tool. We call it MRC, but it's our Marketing Resource Center. That they provide ready-made email. Well, we can do it one of two ways. Email blast can be a one-time kind of thing that we can personalize, send it out to all of our clients. We have emails for, or it can be an email campaign. It may be on safety and security, for instance. Right now, that's a very, very hot topic in churches when it comes to, you know, concealed weapons and or weapons in particular, or safety teams in churches, medical teams. And so we have a campaign that we do that's we can personalize it, 4 to 6 of these emails that go out over a 2 to 3 month period. But that has become a great productivity tool for us in this particular market, being able to use that. I have used it a lot, not as much as I probably will in the future, but that has become a great tool for us to use. Now, it's specific to our company, but it works well for us. That I use probably as much as I use anything. And then, of course, using a digital calendar anymore. It used to be day timer, and I carried a day timer in my pocket, you know, for years. And as a pastor, I used to carry a little small handheld micro recorder. And I would make notes, you know, remember to do this, remember to do that. And then my secretary would type them up every morning. Well, now basically do the same thing on some kind of an internet-based, cloud-based computer calendar. And that I live and die by. You know, if you lose your calendar, you're sunk. But that's keeping true. That and keeping up with it is very, very important. And having a place to do that. And our particular one, you know, has a place you can add tasks to it as well. For me, that's good. I keep a to-do list going all the time and making sure that I don't let things slip through the cracks.
I'm a big fan of Google Calendar, Google Mail, Gmail, I guess you'd call it, and sync it across all my devices, and I can add events and reminders and all that stuff. And then for those who don't have access to the exact program you have access to when it comes to email, a couple of good mass market solutions are Constant Contact and MailChimp. Those okay. two are email systems that are good for folks that set up campaigns and things of that nature for follow-up. So those are good. And also something called Rebump is something I've discovered in the past month or two. And that's more or less an email follow-up system. I can send one email to someone, say, about a particular matter, and blind carbon copy that to the Rebump service, and then the Rebump service will send anywhere from 4 to 10 follow-up emails for me without me having to think about them, spaced out over days or weeks. So you know how in sales they tell you you're supposed to touch someone 7 to 10 times before you get, you know, a reaction or a response. Yep. A lot of times, well, this way it can be done automatically for you. So it's pretty helpful for me. It's been a good tool. a lot of our listeners are business owners or wannabe, and in 60 seconds, what three things do you think you could tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful? And I, you know, as a senior pastor, you were running more or less a business, and as a salesperson, really, you still really are operating your own sales business within a larger firm. So what kind of advice would you give?
Number one, pay attention to people, whether it be employees or potential clients, make sure that you pay attention to them, understand what their particular needs are. I think that's going to be vital. Number two, understand your market. Whatever you're trying to sell, do, understand what's happening in the market as a whole and with your particular product in particular. And then number three, one of the most important things I think is the follow-up. Staying in touch, making sure that there is that continual keeping your name before them, keeping your product before them, letting them know who you are. Because if you never ask for the sale, if you don't keep up with it, you're never going to get it.
Yeah, that's true. If you could recommend just one book, other than the Bible, we have constantly taught on the program here that the Bible is the most important book any of us could consume on a daily basis. But other than the Bible, what would be the one book you would recommend to our listeners and why?
Book that I read several years ago that helped me a lot was John Maxwell's book, Developing the Leader Within You. It's not a difficult read, but it's a good read. It helped me to understand that it crosses all, whether it be ministry, whether it be sales, didn't matter what you were doing, that if you understood who you are in developing your skills, your ability, your talents, your gifts as God has given them, is one of the most important things you can do. If you don't develop the leader within you, you can't develop the team around you. And so that book was a tremendous help, and I've recommended it many times to other people. May not agree with everything that he says and does, but it was a very, very good book, and it was very beneficial to me.
Awesome. Well, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Oh, good question. I think at this particular point would be to listen carefully to individuals that you trust, individuals that are knowledgeable, individuals that are more experienced than you are, because you don't know everything. Attach yourself to people that can help give you information that will be, and counsel and advice that will be beneficial, that will be help you to be productive, and that will help you along whatever career path that you may choose to take.
That's good advice. Well, Ed, this has been a great conversation, and I know I have been blessed by it. I know a lot of our listeners have been as well, and there may be some folks out there that want to reach out to you and ask some follow-up questions. So if that's the case, what's the best way people can connect with you?
Let me give you my email, Robbie. I'd be glad to talk with others. It is Ed Deese, that's D-E-E-S-E, 123@gmail.com. Ed Deese, 123@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, Ed, thanks so much for being a guest on today's version of Career Callings.
Hey, thanks, Robbie. I appreciate it, and trust it will be beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. And as always, you can go to careercallings.net/radio to get a copy of today's broadcast, as well as all the bonus material that we talked about, topics and information we could not fit onto the on-air version of today's show. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
The next question real quick, Ed, well, just tell me for a second what you would describe as your worst career failure, and what lesson did God teach you through that time?
It's probably been a lot of them. From the ministry, whether it was a complete failure, it was in my mind, I think it was the very first message that I ever preached. In fact, I still remember the title. I only preached it one time. Some messages you can preach more than once because, you know, you feel like that's what God wants and God is leading. This one I preached one time. In fact, I think I threw it away. But I remember the pastor that I actually started with as his associate asked me to preach. It was either the week before or perhaps the week after my ordination, and got in the pulpit. And I had this message that I entitled, "Why Me, Lord?" And it was more of a talk than it was a message. But certainly getting up and just in my own mind at that particular time, I think like a Moses, Lord, why'd you choose me? Why do you have me in this particular situation? And so I preached, and what I thought I had enough material for at least 45 minutes. I think I was through in 10. And then you kind of look around, you look at people, and they're wondering, is there more? I'm thinking, is there more? And I don't have anything else. And I don't know what else to do. So I turned around to pastor. I think he was still sitting on the platform. I turned around to pastor, and I said, well, that's all I've got. If you want to do something else, you're welcome to it. I walked off of that platform feeling about 2 inches tall, and I really did think, Lord, why would you call me into the ministry? It was a most humbling experience. I got up into that pulpit, I think, with a lot of self-confidence. I tend to be a very confident person, and I got up in that pulpit with a lot of self-confidence and way too little dependence upon the Lord. And I think that helped me in my future ministry, that from that point forward, I tried very diligently and very carefully to make sure that when I stood in the pulpit, I had a greater respect for it, to realize that my ultimate responsibility was to honor the Lord and to make sure that the messages that I prepared under the Lord's leadership were going to be messages that never drew attention to me, which I think that one tended to more than anything else, but draw attention to the Lord, and that when people left the building, that they were closer to Him, thought more of Him, and a whole lot less of me, and saw a whole lot less of me. So to me, in my mind, it was a failure. But it was a great learning experience that I think set the stage and the tenor for my ministry from that point forward. I still had bad messages. I think every pastor does that stands in a pulpit, and he's probably not being honest and truthful if he says that every time he stands there, it's a hit, because they're not. But I did learn that to stand in the pulpit and to share the word of God is one of the most important things that anybody could ever do. And so it taught me a great lesson. Be very, very careful about what you do, whatever it is, but especially as you handle the scriptures.
Absolutely. But that lesson of dependence on God, I mean, that is so applicable to every type of everything we do in life, but in particular with the focus of this show being on career. You know, you can engage in any kind of career you think you want to engage in. If you're not relying on the Lord to guide your steps and to make you a success, as He deems a success, then you're going to end up falling flat on your face. I don't care how much money you make or whatnot. Without dependence on God, we as Christians will not succeed in any endeavor. So great, great lesson there. Let's not be negative for the entire show. Let's look at the other side of that coin. What would you say was your biggest career success?
Well, I think I probably have to divide it into really two parts of my life. In the ministry, and again, I think we have to be careful. Anybody that's in full-time Christian service, whatever we do is never to draw attention to ourselves, but try to be very, very careful to draw attention to the Lord. But success, if you will, from a ministry standpoint, I think was accomplishing a couple of things. When I was a senior pastor, I felt like one of the most important things that I could ever do was to prepare the church that if I ever left, whether it was by choice or if God decided that it was time for me to leave this world, that honestly, the church wouldn't miss a beat. And I believe that in at least the two churches where I was senior pastor, that I did do that. I tried to train my men to be able to take the leadership position, to be able to make decisions, that every decision wasn't my decision. I provided leadership, but I didn't know it all. And I wanted them to understand that I needed their input. I valued that input, and that input was very, very important in any decision that was made as far as the church moving forward or moving in a particular direction. So I felt like that I was very careful to do that. I had seen ministries, I had heard of ministries, I was even part of a ministry that was really built upon a man from the standpoint that everything looked and appeared like it revolved around him. And in one particular case, when he did leave, the church floundered simply because he had not prepared others to continue that leadership role without him. So I really believe that, at least in particular, the two churches where I was senior pastor, that I accomplished that. I consider that success. Those churches are still thriving. They still are going on. I left a plan in the first church, very small church in North Carolina, how they could pay off the debt and get all of that done within 5-year period. They had me come back at 4 years after I had left at the church anniversary and actually be a part of the mortgage burning because they followed that plan. And so I was grateful to see, not because I did it, not because I wrote something down, but because I think I trained our folks to realize that their dependence was upon God, not upon a man, and that they could take the leadership role and position. And the church here in Spartanburg has far exceeded anything that I think I was even capable of doing. It's a great blessing to even be a part of that church now from a layman standpoint. Back in that church now as a layman. And just to see what God's doing is just a wonderful blessing. And I see that as success. It may not be anything anybody else will remember as far as Ed Dees is concerned. But as far as I'm concerned and my relationship to the Lord and what He had me to do, I consider that a great success.
Absolutely. And that's something we all really need to think about, no matter whether we're planning for our family's future or if we're planning, you know, wherever we work right now, if we own a business or if we're even an employee and have anybody else we impact, even if we don't oversee anybody. We are in our current careers for a reason, and that's to serve other people. And there will come a time when we can't be there anymore, whether it's because of illness or, like you said, death, or maybe a choice to go somewhere else. So I like that, because we do have a responsibility to think beyond ourselves and to prepare other people to pick up our slack, for lack of a better way of saying it, when we can't be there anymore or we won't be there anymore. And, you know, I think it's safe to say a lot of folks, including myself, are too present-minded, not enough future-minded to be able to provide that proper planning. So good advice and a good challenge for us to keep in mind. What would you say is your biggest weakness in the workplace?
From a sales perspective, very honestly, I don't like to make phone calls.
Who does? Who does, man?
I know, but in this business, I suppose in any sales business where it's direct, you've got a certain group of people that you're marketing to, and especially when we're dealing with churches, and we're dealing with churches specifically in South Carolina. Well, I know my market. I know what it's there. But if I'm going to be able to share with them how I think I can help them, then I've got to get in and talk to them. So you got to make appointments. And making those phone calls, I don't mind talking on the phone to people once I get them. I really have to push myself to make those phone calls. I had much rather cold call, and I don't mind cold calling, but I'd much rather cold call in person. I used to sell door to door. You sell vacuum cleaners. Even in fact, when I was a senior pastor in North Carolina, small church, and I had to work a part-time job. So I sold Electrolux vacuum cleaners. And of course, back then, Electrolux only sold direct door to door. And so you carried one of what we used to call the pig, the little pull behind canister vacuum cleaner. And then Electrolux came out with a upright and a lot less expensive, but a great machine. And so you'd carry those with you, have them in the car, and knock on doors. Today, that's difficult. And people are afraid to open the doors, for one thing, and frankly, I don't blame them. But churches are a little different. And so you can at least still knock on a door. Don't always get in. A lot of they have to buzz you in, or they have security cameras and various things. And that's okay. I don't mind that. In fact, I encourage our churches to do that. But making cold calls, I have always enjoyed. Don't mind doing that. Don't mind talking to somebody face to face. But calling on the telephone is probably more efficient as far as covering more territory, spending less gas, making better use of your time. I just don't like to do it. And it's a real weakness. And I know that I need to do it and need to do more of it. So I really have to force myself to do it.
What are you doing right now to force yourself to do it? Are you tricking yourself or giving yourself a reward or anything like that?
Not so much that as much as it is setting some specific, okay, I've got to make 5 phone calls today or a day. And so I've got a list of those that I'm working down through in particular counties. We have county territories. And so I've got a list of the 300 churches in Lexington County or Richland County or wherever it may be. And separating those that I already insured from those that I need to talk to, from those that I've already talked to. And you just go down through and try to get to the right person. And that's difficult with churches because usually it's not the secretary and usually it's not the pastor. Most churches have a committee, whether it be, you know, an elder group or a deacon group or a finance committee. So eventually you've got to get to the right person. So you got to get through the gatekeeper to get to the right person, get the phone number so that you can ultimately set up an appointment and go from there. So I just set some goals and set them out. This is what I've got to do. If you don't do that, you're not ultimately going to sell anything. If you're not selling anything, you don't eat.
That's right. You only eat what you kill in the sales business, right?
That's true.
That's what we say all the time. So, how about the other side of that? What is your biggest strength in the workplace?
I think probably from my perspective is being able to relate to people. Part of that has to do with my previous time in the ministry. You have to do that. You have to deal with people. You have to listen carefully. And in this business, you have to listen because I have a product that other people sell something similar. So I don't want to be just a vendor. I want to build a relationship with people. And so in order to do that, you've got to make that relationship. You've got to understand where they're coming from. So I think my past experience as a pastor certainly lends itself very well to being able to sit down with people. I'm before committees quite often. And frankly, when I pastored, I enjoyed deacons meeting. One, because I had good deacons. But I enjoyed those meetings. They were informative. They were a time to get things done. So I see this as the same thing. I need to be informative, but I need to listen. And I want to help those people. That's what you do in the ministry. I think in my position, this particular opportunity that we have of presenting something to them that helps churches. It's surprising how many people you talk to that when they ask what you do and you tell them, you know, you're in insurance sales, but we have a niche market to churches. It's surprising how many people say, you know, I never thought about a church needing insurance. But they have a building, so that building needs to be insured against, you know, perils. But a lot of people don't understand how unique churches are when it comes to liability. And a lot of churches don't even understand that. So what we find is that the turnover in churches, most churches, is pretty quick, at least on an annual basis. So you have to go back, build more relationships with a different group of people or a different chairman. So I see that as a great strength of mine. I enjoy talking with people. Usually have a lot more to say than I should. So I've got to be careful about that. But that relationship building I see as a great strength. And our turnover, my personal turnover here in the office as far as retention, is right at 96%. So I lose a few every now and then, but it's not often. And most of them, when they call, you know, they ask for me, although it's something our ladies in the office can take care of and usually transfer them back to them to take care of the particulars, the busy work, the paperwork that needs to be done. But they usually ask for me, so I try to make sure they remember who I am, and I'm here to help them.
That's pretty good stuff. I mean, you know, people, I've been in sales in some way, shape, form, or fashion for roughly 20 years. And I've learned time and time again from the sales gurus that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. But what I've learned in addition to that is, you know, that might get you the sale, but what keeps the retention rate as high as what you've just described is that you're a resource for those people. And the know, like, and trust might get the relationship started. But you got to remain a resource for them in order for them to want to stay with you in the long haul. And that applies to any kind of career. I don't care if you're in sales or any other type of career. As long as you are a valuable resource, you will always have a place somewhere in some part of the economy. It's those people who see their jobs or their businesses as something they can always take from rather than give to are the ones that struggle.
Right.
Yep. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Yeah, in fact, when I first went to college, I was actually an education major. And when I started taking, you know, the classes, and the first year classes weren't that big a deal. You weren't in your specifics. But by the time I got to my sophomore year and started taking education classes, and understanding my own personality as well, I realized that to stand in a classroom all day with a group of kids, somebody was probably going to get hurt. And I had planned it wasn't going to be me. So I realized that for the sake of kids and of others, that education probably wasn't going to be it. And really throughout the, you know, college, and I got married while I was in college, which probably wasn't the smartest thing to do from an education standpoint at the time. Still believe that was the Lord's leading, but it hindered my continued education for a while. But later on, as God continued to lead, and I floundered for a little bit, to be very honest with you, I worked a couple of other jobs after I got married. Was in insurance sales, but it was life insurance, which I enjoyed, and then did a couple of other things. And the church that I was involved in Tennessee, the pastor approached me and he said, you know, I'm looking for somebody that would be able to help me here on staff. Would you pray about it? And very frankly, I was shocked because I never thought, didn't see myself honestly at that particular time or up to that point as being a pastor. And it really surprised me. But my wife and I talked about it, prayed about it a lot. Talked to my father-in-law and brother-in-law, who were both in the ministry for many years, to get their advice, counsel, wisdom. And God began to work in my own heart. And realizing at that particular time, I probably wasn't going to do a whole lot of preaching, which was a good thing. I wasn't really comfortable with it at that point, but I was going to be able to use the gifts that God had given me. And in particular, I'm an administrator. And that's really what he was looking for, was somebody who could take the day-to-day, take his particular vision, and then put the flesh to the bones, and then be able to carry it out. And the Lord really worked in that, and it was a great relationship in that church and with those people. And later on, I began to preach more, and that's when I really started enjoying preaching. And later on, God, to use a phrase, God stirred my nest, and I realized, you know, I don't want to stay in this position under somebody. I want to be the pastor. I want to sit in the big black chair, as my pastor used to tell me. It's a lot different when you sit in the big black chair. And so I wanted to sit there. And so that's how the Lord began to lead. It wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't that all of a sudden aha type moment, this is it. It was more of a gradual leading. And I think that's what God had to do with me. God had to clear a number of things away. Kind of the fog in my own mind, what directions you want me to take, how can I use who I am, where I am, and God began to do a number of things. And then I began to grow, further education helped, and in particular pastoral ministries, and learning what it was to really study, how to study properly in order to prepare messages and those kinds of things. So it was a process, if you will, that God brought me to at that particular point in my life. But it was very clear. Once I was there, I knew this is exactly where God wanted me to be.
You know, it just reminds me that man devises his way, but God directs his steps. And that's a truth we all need to rest in, especially if we're in the midst of some confusion right now. Just be patient. The Lord will point you in the right direction eventually when the timing is right.
Yes, and one thing I learned is that time is an ally, not an enemy. You know, I know sometimes pressure sales, you got to do it today, you got to do it this minute kind of thing, and I was a sucker early for those kinds of people, and I made some very poor decisions because I thought I had to do it at this particular moment. And God taught me, I think, some important lessons about patience, and that time really is an ally. I found that I have to make very, very few decisions right now. I don't think you need to be paralyzed by analysis, but at the same time, I think most of us are confronted with choices that are before us that we don't have to make them in the next 10 minutes. We can take a day or two or a month, even if necessary, depending upon the type of decision. And I think that's what God did for me, and I needed that at that particular time. I wasn't ready to make that kind of a decision because it was going to be life-changing. It was going to be life-changing in a lot of ways. So it took some time.
Yeah, understandably so.